redemption that came by Christ Jesus. That's the good news. Don't stop at the bad news. Oh, I'm just a bad sinner. I've fallen short. I can't. Go read the rest of it. Verse 24. All are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And if you keep reading, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Do we have another song? I didn't know Johnny Cash could sing religious music either. No, I'm just joking. Okay, guys. John, the first song, it was kind of a country song. Okay. Good to have everybody. Good to see some people we haven't seen in a while. Some people from Florida. There you go. Jennifer and Jeff are out of town today, so they couldn't be with us. I'm sure they'll be sad to miss you. But guys, we're continuing in Romans. And we've been in Romans chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're up to chapter 12. We only got through two verses last week. Now, either I'm a bad preacher or there was a lot to be said in there. And we know what verses 12, we start of chapter 12 says. Therefore, right, we be renewed by the renewing of the mind. Okay, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So we talked about what that looked like. And we talked about how the battle, our battle with life, with relationships, with people, and with anything in our life starts right here in the mind. You get one bad thought, and then you follow that little train, and it gets worse. And this is how relationships are broken up. This is how people get into trouble. This is how people do bad things. They get mad at someone, and they think, man, he really did me wrong, and how can I get him back? And we're going to talk about this today, how we are to do God, how we are to live godly. We've been talking about what saves us, his blood, by faith, but only by grace, not by works. Amen. But we're going to, but he's talking about today how, you know, last week, I'm all over the place here, but last week we talked about how that one bad thought can either lead to good things or bad things. And the scripture says, I put before you life or death. Choose life. The scripture also says you're known by your words. You can speak a word to someone, and if I went around the room and asked everybody to raise your hand, everybody in this room would be able to raise their hand about something that happened many, many years ago. If you're my age, it could have happened 50 years ago. But many, many years ago, somebody said something to you that was so hurtful that you remember it till today. And if you go back there and you dwell on that, it'll take you to a dark place. Okay? We tend to remember the bad. But think about something. I remember something somebody said to me good also. But it's not about a bad and a good thing. It's about a righteous and an unrighteous. Okay? So we're not trying to live better. Or we're not even trying to be more Christ-like, because we are Christ-like because he lives within us. And if we get up every day and say, I'm going to do better today, and a lot of religions get it wrong and a lot of denominations get it wrong, and say, I'm going to get up and try to do better today because yesterday I got angry with this guy and I fussed him out in the grocery store and I feel bad about it and I can't apologize. I'll probably never see the guy again. What a failure I am. Here I am calling myself a Christian. And I say, I'm going to try to do better today, and I'm going to get up today and I'm going to do better, and I'm going to treat people nice, and blah, blah, blah. And you go out, and the first thing we talk about is the Heber traffic. And you get out into traffic, and somebody cuts you off, and you give them your number one signal. And, oh, I already messed up again, Lord. Yes. Did he know you were going to do what before you did it? Yes, he knew that. Does he still love you? Yes. In our mind, we got this idea that there's God on a swivel. And if you do good, he's smiling at you. But if you flip somebody off in traffic, he's like, oh. And then, oh, okay, I'm sorry, Lord. So in our mind, we've got this God on a swivel thing. He's not on a swivel. He's always towards you. His face is always towards you. And he's always in your camp. And he's never disappointed in you. How can you say that, Chuck? Because he knows everything. Could you be disappointed in your kids if you knew tomorrow one of them was going to go out and totally disobey you? No, I already knew you were going to do that. Does it mean I don't love you? No, I still love you. But I don't want you to do that anymore because I know better, a better way. And that's all God is saying to us here. And we're going to talk about how to live that transformed life now. So Paul's going to go from saying everybody's indicted, everybody deserves to go to hell and burn, but by the grace of God, for those who believe, this is not just a blanket, this is not universal religion, like, oh, God died for everybody. Yes, he did. And then you go to the extreme opposite of that, your Calvinist view, oh, he only died for some people, so you were doomed from the womb. Sorry, Bill. In fact, you can't even control that. That's a false doctrine from the pit of hell. Whosoever, 148 verses in the Bible, whosoever, everyone, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a choice, just like they had a choice in the Garden of Eden. But they disobeyed. Why did they disobey in the Garden of Eden? Why? Well, it was about obedience, Chuck. No, it had nothing to do with obedience. It had everything to do with belief. They did not believe the very words of God. I'm reading through the Torah, New Bible. I love my new Bible. It's my best thing ever. I get a new Bible every time I read through. I get a new one, I read through it. I'm reading different versions. I haven't gotten through all the versions yet, but I'm reading through them. And I'm reading Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I'm reading all the old law. And God wasn't angry at him for disobedience. He was for disobedience, but where did that disobedience come from? It came from unbelief. Because of your unbelief, you're not going to enter the land. In other words, if you had believed me, you would have obeyed me, but there's giants out there. There's people of the, I can't even say them right, the Akim or whatever they were, the Anak group. They were giants. They're big. They're strong. They're fortified cities. We cannot take that. God says, I've already given it to you. How many times in your life have you thought, I can't do that, and God's already given it to you? He said, every place you put your foot is going to be yours. Everywhere you walk, go. You've been in this mountain long enough. Some of you guys may be in a point in your life where you're stagnant. You've been in this mountain long enough. At Mount Horeb, and God tells Moses, get up and go. And you know, until you start walking and going, you're not going to get any direction. As long as you stand there, Joshua stood at the river all day long, and until he stepped in it, the water did not part. We have to take that step of faith. Anyway, the title of this message is Upside Down, Romans chapter 12. Because God takes everything in the world system and turns it upside down. When my three kids were teenagers, and they graduated high school, and they're going to trade school and college and different places, they're doing different things, and they're moving out, and they're moving in with friends, and they're, you know, trying to become their own. And that's a difficult transition in life, from leaving the nest of mom and dad to going out to, you know, the real world. You know, sometimes I'd like to go back to mom and dad's house. We're going to have to worry about things, pay any bills. But they're making the transition. And I told them this. I said, guys, because I used to get on to them all the time about, have you been reading your Bible? Have you been going to church? Have you? Well, you know, not really. I said, well, then do this. Look at what the world is doing. Shacking up. Partying. Living for the day. Don't care about tomorrow. Being rude. Putting number one first. Take a look at what the world is doing and do the opposite, and you're probably doing what the Lord wants you to do. And that was the advice I gave my kids growing up. So God takes everything and turns it upside down. What does the world say? Kick them while they're down. You know, you got somebody that's trying to compete for your job. You know, I saw this in the federal government for years. There'd be an announcement come out for a GS-14. Oh, that's a coveted position. Oh, and then all the people that were kind of in position for that would start, here the rumors would start. Oh, you don't want this guy because, he had an affair on his wife back in 10 years ago, and she had a heart attack, and all this happened. And you don't want this guy over here because he's got a history of stealing, and even though he's in law enforcement, and it just whatever excuse they could come up with to make somebody else look bad. That's the world system, making somebody else look bad, kicking them while they're down, run over everybody and anybody in your way. What's another thing the world says? Don't let anyone disrespect you. Did you disrespect me? How offensive are people? How easily people get offended today? You don't believe me? I talk to Mormons all the time, and they get so offended when I tell them, you don't have the true Jesus. You don't have him. You have a false Jesus. Well, no, we got Jesus Christ right on our church. No, I'm sorry. You don't. I'm not just picking on the Mormons. I'll pick on anybody that doesn't have the true Jesus of the Bible. And it's not because I hate them. It's the exact opposite. It's because I love you. I want to tell you the truth. In a relationship, do you want someone to be truthful with you or lie to you? You want to be truthful. What if it hurts, though? In my experience, if it hurts, there's some truth in it. And you need to look at it. Every time somebody says something to me, I go, oh, that hurt. Yeah, Chuck, you're gaining weight. Chuck, you're getting old. It's truth. Truth hurts. So that's the world system. Demand respect. Demand to be seen and heard. Get in their faces. That's the world, right? Jesus comes along. He turns that system upside down. Romans 12:3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Is that what the world says? No, the world says me first. I'm the best. Even if you're not the best, you might think you're the best. I tell my wife all the time, we're driving up to McCall, and we're pulling a boat. A friend of us let a borrow a boat. We went up there, got on the lake. And she's like, she's constantly telling me how to drive. And I just sit there, and I'm cool, calm, and collected. And I'm like, yeah. Experto totus. In Spanish, that means I'm a total expert in this. And in reality, I've been pulling boats for 30 years. I had a captain's license. Not only that, I teach driver training at the Law Enforcement Academy. I mean, I am an expert in driving. But I'm not going to sit here and brag about that because there's plenty of people better than me. Okay? So be humble, and you're smiling because she's kept me out of a few things. So our natural tendency, it says, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Now, God has dealt each of us a measure of faith. And I heard a pastor talking about this one time. He said, you know, I can go out and drink a beer, and I'm good with that, and I think God's good with that, and I'm okay with that. But somebody else might see me drinking a beer, or they might look at it and say, no, you shouldn't be doing that. That's a bad influence. That's a bad example. And it's just a difference of where we are sometimes. Now, I'm not endorsing drinking beer. I'm just saying, you know, that they were sacrificing food to idols back then too. Some people didn't want to eat it. And some people said, I don't care. God gave it to me. I'll eat it. Jesus comes along and says, it's not what goes into a man that defileth a man, but what comes out of his mouth, right? Our mouth can kill someone or destroy someone. You can totally destroy someone by your words. You can say something to your wife or to your kids and totally destroy them. So that's why we need to be very careful with our words. So it's come out of a man that defiles us. So natural tendency man is to become prideful. Look at me, all I've done. The world is so lucky to have me. Next time you started getting puffed up, remember the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, was born in an animal barn. Not the Ritz-Carlton. This doesn't mean walk around in false humility either. You see some Christians, they walk around and, oh, you know, poor me, poor me, poor me. No, no, no. You've been given the abundant life. Walk in that. We don't have to pretend humility. We're just humble by nature. We understand our righteousness and position in Christ. We are humbled by it. That He would love us so much that He would give His only Son. That's humbling. Because when I think about Chuck, there ain't nothing in Chuck that deserves His grace. But for the grace of God, I would bust hell wide open. We understand our righteousness. We're humbled by it, not puffed up. Religion puffs up. Faith keeps us humble. Jesus warned of the religious people that walk around in the long robes, the long scribe, you know, their tassels hanging down, which had their scriptures on it, and they had the philosophies, these big things on their hat, with their box of scriptures, and they would stand on the street corners and say long prayers to be seen by men. Oh, that guy's so holy. I can think of another guy that does that around the world. I'm an equal opportunity offender. I'll call you out. I do not want to be that person. What does Jesus say? Go in your closet and pray. Go hide. Then your Father will hear. We have to ask ourselves, why am I doing what I'm doing today? Is it because I want to get points before men? I want men to think I'm so holy, so righteous. Is it because I want, you know, the church to think I am, you know, ready for leadership or whatever? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it I want something back? Because God says, do for people that cannot do for you. Then you'll have treasures in heaven. I can call Bill over and invite him over for a T-bone steak tonight. Because I know he can invite me back and do the same for me. That's nothing. That's nothing. The world does that. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. What about what we do as Christians? I'm going to find somebody that doesn't have any money, that's hungry, that doesn't have anything. Come here, man. I'm going to buy you a T-bone steak. What do I owe you? Nothing. So what Jesus says, what I owe you, Jesus, nothing. But for you to believe and have faith in me that I am the Son of God and I will raise you up on that last day. Wow. Luke 22, talking about being puffed up and we talk about do Christians have disputes? And I put a lot of laugh by that. Yeah, Christians have disputes. We're just like the world. We get into fights and arguments all the time. And so in Luke 22, a dispute also arose among them as to which of them would be considered to be the greatest. Now this is when Jesus is walking with the disciples, and the disciples are walking along. And this is an account, I'll give you the Matthew account in a minute. And Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them. That's a picture of the world. And those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. Upside down. You want to be great in the world, in the world's eyes, or do you want to be great in God's eyes? Did Jesus come to serve or to be served? He came to serve. He came to give His life as a ransom for many. You want to be great? Give your life away. Give it away. Help those who need help. Love those who are unloved. Do for those who can't do for you. You will be great in the kingdom of God. He turns everything upside down. He says, for who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. The words of Jesus. Jesus is not sitting at the table waiting for us to serve Him. He got off that table and came down and says, I'm going to put you up there. I'm going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And it's going to be the best meal we've ever eaten. Jesus comes along, turns the entire world system upside down on his head. Matthew says this, when the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. And this is 12 disciples, and two of them, James and John, also called the sons of thunder, were the ones wanting to be great. And so you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Think about how many religions in this world, even denominations, that lord it over people. I don't want you to ever think I have authority over anybody in here. I'm a believer just like you are. You can come to me for prayer. I can go to you for prayer. We go to each other. We edify each other in Christ. I'm no more important than you are sitting there. I'm no more enlightened than you are sitting there. I've just been called to prophesy the word of God. Prophesy meaning teach the message of God. Not prophesy the future. He says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Same thing Luke said. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Amen. Romans 12:5 says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, each member belongs to all others. And so we're all have different gifts, is what Paul's saying. We're all, you know, and he's going to go into this in a minute. But we all have different gifts, but nobody's more important than anybody else. We all form up one body in Christ, and we all should be edifying each other. We used to say, you know, we can say we're in the same boat, so to speak. I used to say at the training agents, I would say, what color is your uniform? I would do when we did the training down in El Salvador, I would ask people, what color is your uniform? Because you can go out here on the street, Air Force, Army, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, Navy, they all have different color uniforms. But they all have the same mission. Defend the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Police officers, same thing. You can go out here, get pulled over by a Heber City, and he may have on a blue uniform. And then you get pulled over by Wasatch County, and he may have on a green uniform. But they all carry a badge, and they're all in the same profession. They all are doing law enforcement together. So that's just like us. We may have a different uniform on, a different function, but we're all in the same fight, so to speak. In the same boat, so to speak. And I used to say, well, what color was Jesus' uniform? Read about it in Revelation. A white robe dipped in blood. It says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's coming back with a sword to strike the nations. Coming soon to a theater near you, guys. We have different gifts. Romans 12:6. According to the grace given to each of us, is your gift is prophesying and prophesy. Now let me tell you what prophesying is. People take this verse and be, oh, I can predict the future. Israel and Iran are going to fight. Israel's going to wipe them out. And then we're going to turn our backs on Israel and all nations are going to be gathered. And then Jesus is going to come back. When's that going to happen, Chuck? In 1 month, 2 days, and 3 hours. I challenge anybody in here to go on Google and look at all the false prophets. And go back and look at everything they said. Not one of them is a true prophet. Deuteronomy says that. If one thing they says does not come to pass, they're a liar. We have no true prophets today. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us in all truth. If anybody says they're a prophet, if anybody says they're an apostle, I'm on YouTube all the time looking at sermons of different pastors. Apostle so-and-so, there's three of them coming here pretty soon. Three apostles. You're a liar. To be an apostle, you had to walk with Jesus. Requirement number one. Requirement number two, you had to see the miracles and be able to do miracles. Jesus wasn't the only one that raised someone from a dead, from the dead. Peter did. These are apostles. But they say apostle and put this big names, big, these big names before their names so they can deceive people who don't know what this says. Guys, I cannot stress to you so important to be in this word. It's so important. The world does not know this world. You know how I know? Because it's going to hell in a handbasket right now. We have to know the word or we're going to be deceived. And we're going to be led astray. We have to be grounded in it. Amen? Amen. So, if it's prophesying, prophesying according to say. Well, what is prophecy? It's to proclaim a message from God. That's all. I prophesy every Sunday. Because I spend time right here praying. Okay, God, show me what you want me to speak. And that's what I do. And if it's serving, then serve. If your gift is to serve, then serve. Then do it. What he's saying is, we all got different gifts. Do what your gift is. If it's teaching, teach. If it's to encourage, did you know encouragement is a gift? Not everybody can encourage someone else. They don't have the strength. They're so beat down. Have you ever met somebody that's so beat down they cannot? It's hard for them to even get up all out of the bed, off the couch. I've been there. You know, it's bad when you go to bed crying, but it's even really bad when you wake up crying. I've been there. I'm not someone up here talking to you like I haven't been there. There are people out there that cannot have the strength. They do not have the strength to be encouraged. You encourage them. You have the strength. Give them the encouragement they need. How do we do that? Read them this word. Tell them the good news. Don't just cut it off at Romans 3:23. All sin to fall short. That's you. And all are freely justified by Jesus Christ, by his grace, by his gift. Keep reading. Amen. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I tell you, I told you guys a story a few months ago about the guy that rear-ended me down in Miami. I got out of the car, and he's, oh my God, my brakes failed or something. I knew he was lying. He just probably texting, whatever. I said, it's okay, man. Don't worry about it. It's just a car. I'm okay. Are you okay? And within about 2 minutes, he kind of comes over, and we're waiting for the police. I said, I got to get a police report because this is a government vehicle. And within about 2 minutes, he comes over and says, why are you being so kind to me? Because he fully expected me to get out of the car and cuss him out. You stupid idiot. You rear-ended me. What are you doing? Why aren't you looking? I said, none of that. I said, it's just a car. I'm okay. It's no big deal. I said, because I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has forgiven me all. This guy's there. Yeah. And he will do the same for you. The whole slide here is be you. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Paul's saying, whatever you're gifted, just be you. Just be you. You know, and this is a little secret. God loves you just like you are. And oh, you can't tell them that, Chuck. They need to change. They need to get it more holy. God loves you just like you are. While you were yet a sinner, he died for you. He gave you your desires. He gave you your passions. Yes, we have faults. Yes, we have fallen short. But we're under grace. God says, it's okay. It's okay for you to be you. You don't have to pretend to be something you're not. Love must be sincere, Romans chapter 9 says. How many people want a love that's not sincere? Nobody's raising their hand. We don't want someone just automatically I love you, 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 Maria. No, this is not an automatic response. In fact, when I call her Maria, she gets mad at me. It's mi amor, my love. And she calls me on that, and I go, yeah, you're right. Mi amor. That's a more intimate thing than just Maria. But we don't want a love to be insincere. He's saying, be sincere in your love. Are we supposed to hate, guys? Do Christians hate? Hate what is evil. Absolutely. When I told my daughter one time, she was 10 years old, God hates. What are you talking about, Dad? God doesn't hate. I said, well, he didn't hate you. He hates the evil in this world because it's affecting you. It's harming you. The evil that's coming, you don't let just anything come in your home. You don't just open your doors and say, anybody come in and do what you want. No, we hate. Psalmist says it really good. David says it really good in Psalm 139. At the end of Psalm 139, he says, Lord, do I not hate those that hate you with perfect hatred? In other words, anyone standing against the Lord, yeah, you're not with me. You're not in the boat I'm in. You're in the enemy boat. What about love your enemies? We'll get to that in a minute. But yes, I'm just saying anything that's coming against your family, that's going to destroy your family and destroy your relationship with God, we are to hate that. We are to hate that evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Wow, wouldn't it be a different world? If we put others above ourselves, wouldn't that be a different world? Never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. I love the Jews that stand at the wall over there in Jerusalem, and they are all their fever and all their... Now, they're praying to God. They don't believe in Jesus, the Messiah, but they're certainly giving it their all. Even the Muslims bow down 2 or 3 times a day, put their mat out. Do we do that? Have zeal for our Lord. Have, how do you pronounce this word? Fervor. Zeal for him. Don't lose that. Be joyful in what? Hope. Patient in what? Affliction. Oh, let's don't even talk about that. We are not patient when things don't go our way. And the older I get and the more I start breaking down, I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this thing, Lord. Had Tom, my buddy, Atlanta Police Department, for 20 years, retired. He was 72 years old and he won a Mercedes-Benz, won it. He bought 2 tickets for $50 each. One of them, he said, one of them was no good. The other one was he won a compressor, a little $72,000 something Mercedes. He couldn't even get in and out of it. But he got it and he traded it for something else. But he told me, he says, Chuck, you don't want to get old. I've had back surgery. I've had neck surgery. I've had prostate surgery. I said, Tom, how am I going to prevent it? Unless the Lord takes me early, right? Share with the Lord's people. It says, be joyful, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We talked about what prayer is. Is prayer that 5 minutes a day that we talk to the Lord? Here's what everybody thinks prayer is. Okay, it's 12 o'clock, time for prayer. Okay, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for my bread. Thank you. That's not prayer. The Bible says pray without what? Ceasing. Tomorrow or Tuesday, at some point, I'm going to be driving 3 hours. Guess what I'm going to be doing? Praying. You close your eyes when you drive, Chuck? No. I'm praying with my mind. You remember we talked about the transforming of the mind? I'm praying in my mind. My thoughts are on him. God, take me where you want me to take me today. Take me in front of people that need some encouragement today. Take me somewhere today where I can help someone to see you, not me. Take me there, Lord. I'm willing. Here I am, Isaiah said. Here I am. Send me. We should have that spiritual fervor. And I don't know if I pronounced that word right or not. But anyway, zealousness. We should have that for the Lord. Lord, use me. Use me. Use me up. Use me up until I'm nothing. John the Baptist, he must increase, I must decrease. Use me, Lord. That should be our prayer. And we pray all the time. And God says we don't even know what we should pray. So the Holy Spirit makes intercession with groanings. We don't groan. The Holy Spirit groans for us. It's the Holy Spirit just groaning. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Some people are good at that. Some people not so much. And that's fine. Be you. If you're not a hospitable person, don't try to be something you're not. God's given you something else. Bless those who persecute you. Whoa. Here we go. We're going to go deep here real quick. Bless those who persecute you. Wow, that's very difficult. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be what? Proud. Guys, pride is our number one enemy. Isaiah 14. I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. I will be worshipped. Who's those words? Who are those words? Satan himself. That's your homework, guys. Isaiah 14. Read it. You'll find five I wills in there. The proudness and the pride of Lucifer was his downfall. Pride becomes before the downfall. Stay humble and you'll never fall. Be willing to associate with people of high position or low position? Low position. How many people walk right past the janitor, walk right past the cooks, walk right past the servers because they just saw the senator walk in the door? Senator so-and-so is so glad to meet you. Wow, we have a place at my table. Come over here. And they bypass everybody else because they can't do anything for you. Jesus says, notice everyone. Notice the people in the low position. Don't be afraid to associate with them. Do not be conceited. So here's Paul bringing it to a summary here. He's telling us, if you're a believer, this is how you should live. This is how you should live. Here's some guidelines for you. And I'm going to try to get through this. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And I'm not saying be a chameleon. Paul has this thing where he takes, well, okay, if eating meat offends my brother, I'm not going to eat meat anymore. I get it. Because they have a weaker faith. They have a weaker belief. You don't want to discourage them by doing something that's offensive to them. I get it. He's just saying, try your best to live in harmony with each other. Live at peace with everyone. Do not revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. And the last slide we have says here, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Quick story, and if you go back to Elijah, you see Elisha, and I think 2 Kings, he's talking about the time when his servant, the prophet Elisha, his servant walks out of the tent. They're in Dotham. They're surrounded by the Syrians. And it's early in the morning. I can imagine he had just gotten his coffee, and he walks out, and he looks up, and he goes, we're in trouble. They were surrounded by the Syrian army. So he walks back in the tent, and he says, Elisha, we're done. We're done. What are you talking about? They surrounded us. Because they were after Elisha because he was telling, he was prophesying where the enemy would be to the Israelites. And when the Assyrians would lay an ambush for the Israelites already knew where the ambush was going to be, and they would destroy them every time. To the point where the king says, who in here is for Israel? And the other prophet says, none of us. It's Elisha. Go get him. And that's how they're surrounded. And so he tells his servant, Elisha tells his servant, go back out and look again. Because there's more of us than there is of them. And his eyes were open. The Bible says his eyes were open. When we talk about opening our eyes, it's not our physical eyes, it's our spiritual eyes. In these last days, we need to be very careful with what we're looking at and be able to discern the times. Who are you listening to? Who are you putting faith in? There's one person I am. One person, Jesus Christ. That's it. And it comes back in, he says, and so the angels, they all came down and God, it says God confused them and blinded them. This is what he's done to the enemy today. They're getting more and more confused and they're getting more and more blind. And so they captured him and led him into the city. And the king says, do you want us to kill him? He says, no. No, I don't want you to kill him. I want you to feed them and give them something to drink and send them their way. What does this say? If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. So they captured the enemy, and then they fed him and gave something to drink. And it said the Syrians came no more against Israel because of the mercy that had been shown to them. They could have killed them all. We're going to have hamburgers in a minute. One more quick story. A pastor friend of mine, he's playing Little League Baseball. He's a pitcher. He's throwing strikes. The umpire's saying, ball, walk. And he's 12 years old, and he's screaming obscenities at the umpire. Now, if my kids had done this, they would have probably not be able to walk today. But evidently, this kid was allowed. He was there by himself. Or whatever. He was screaming obscenities. He was very different when he was little than he is now. God got a hold of him. And he's saying, you're an idiot. You're a stupid umpire. You can't call a strike. That was a strike. So it ends up, he ends up on third base coach. Coach third base during the innings. And the umpire walks over to him and he goes, oh, no. I'm going to get it now because I've been cursing out this umpire. And the umpire gets up beside him and says, son, says, I'm trying my best here. And I want you to know, you're one of the best players I've ever seen in my life. You're one of the best pitchers I've ever seen. In fact, you're probably the best player on this field. And I really am trying my best. And I hope you guys go on to the All-Stars. And it was totally opposite of what this guy was thinking. He was thinking he was going to get chewed out, beat down, beat up. Instead, this umpire showed him grace and showed him mercy. And he said he broke down crying. And it changed his life. It made him realize, you know, not everybody is perfect. We all make mistakes. He may be trying his best, but we see him as our enemy. Like the lady we walked into in McCall in the grocery store. The grocery store is closing. 15 minutes, store closes. Announcement goes out. Marie and I are grabbing up our last little groceries. We go to the checkout. Uh-oh. The lady behind the checkout is not in a good mood. She's probably been working all day. She looks like she's been rode hard, put up wet, like the horse, right? She's got a few cracks in the windshields, a few dents in the bumper, and she's got a growl on her face. And all it took was for me to say, hey, you know, are you from here? Yeah. Well, we're riding through, we're doing this and that. And I just started casually talking to her and being kind to her. And by the time she got done with the groceries, she was smiling and laughing like she was our best friend. And this is what we're called to do, guys. Reach out to those. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on in people's lives. We don't know what they're dealing with. If they're hungry, feed them. If they need encouragement, encourage them. Because your day's coming. You may need the same. You know, when it came out of Egypt, God says, remember the foreigner. Be kind to the foreigner because you were once a slave. You were once a foreigner also in a foreign land. We were all once foreigners to God. But now we're His. By the righteousness of Him, we are made righteous. Don't leave out of here today thinking you're a sinner, because you're not. If you're a believer, you're not a sinner. You're holy, righteous, and blameless before Him. He remembers your sins no more. I don't know how He does that. God's ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And I'm glad they are. In Jesus' name. Father, thank You for this time. Thank You for encouraging us in Your word, Lord. Thank You for just touching our hearts, Lord. Convicting us, Lord, of whatever You need us to do to go from here. Let us do it willingly. Let us do it in love. Let us not complain. Increase our faith. Increase our belief. We love You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.